Hello and welcome to the second part of our two-part episode on saving Mongolia's dinosaurs. If you've not yet listened to part one, then obviously we recommend you go do that first. As always, more information is available on our website, so please head on over there after listening. But for now, we jump straight back into the conversation.
We're doing the outreach project more often so that people see the value with different eyes, not with the money.
Right. You know? So your outreach is also, you know, it's about spreading the word about this kind of rich fossil record history, but also to communicate the natural history value, not just the monetary value of these fossils.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, once fossils have, you know, price tag on it, you know, it can have some negative, you know, things can out of it. You know, some people think, oh, this is the easy money, or, you know, I mean, that's the things to worry, because when you go to Mongolia, when you go out to prospect, you know, looking for fossils for those fossil sites, you can, on the surface, you can easily find, you know, dinosaur tooth or claws, you know, and then when you look at some, you know, catalogs, you can see tooth and claws has price tags on. So that's why it's really important. I mean, education is really important to give the people the knowledge that, you know, they understand the value, importance of this fossil heritage. But at the same time, we really need to also focus on conservation. So conservation is the important thing. You know, I've been thinking through all these years, and now this summer we're going to launch our first conservation project.
So I understand you have kind of a movable museum project, which you took that out last summer, I think, was it?
Yeah, so with the movable dinosaur museum, was actually donated by American Museum of Natural History to our institute. So that movable museum has been traveled and educated kids all in New York area. So it's been all over New York. Mm-hmm. So we were lucky to get that movable museum, because inside the museum has the story of, you know, Mongolian fossils being displayed, you know, the replica of the real fossils. So it really perfectly fitted for Mongolia. So with help of, we had some, you know, a few donors help out to ship it to Mongolia. So it was Jerry Ostrom and Epicurus Fund. So with their help, we were able to get that movable museum transported, ship it to Mongolia, because, you know, it's across the wall to bring that big vehicle. It couldn't fit in a container because it was too, you know, big to fit to any container. So it has to be travel itself. So it means that needs to, you know, someone driving to the ship and take it out.
Right.
And in China, it'd been driven in the back of a big truck. And then from there, when crossed the Mongolian border, it was in on a train, a cargo train, you know, and then once got into Ulaanbaatar capital city, we drove, you know, so it was 2.5 months to bring that the movable museum to Mongolia. And then last summer we launched it the first time to Mongolian public, but we launched that program in the heart of Gobi Desert, where is the first discovery of dinosaur and other vertebrate fossils being made, which is the place called Flaming Cliffs. That's where Rochep and Anderson and his team discovered nest of eggs, dinosaur eggs, which was the first discovery in the world, and first Mongolian dinosaurs been found. So we basically, after 90 years, we bring back the knowledge back to where the first discovery has been made.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very exciting event. That, but it was also challenging to bring it down there because we have to have that vehicle to drive off road on the Gobi Desert.
Yeah.
But vehicle is not designed to drive off road. But
but it survived.
Yeah, we tested it so we can tell to, you know, whatever company made, say, hey, your vehicle made it off road. So. So it was a very exciting event, and that nomad kids and, you know, kids who live nearby these Fleming Cliffs and also known as Bainzak, they came to see the movable museum, and some kids first time seeing the museum for, you know, for them, like first time what is museum is like, you know, because there's no museum in the near town. So it was very exciting, and to have that movable museum, to have it in the Gobi. And it's very nice that outside has, you know, the dinosaurs been drawing, and really, you know, catches people's eyes when we're driving mm-hmm. down the road, like cars stop and look, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then when we stop for gas to get a gas, they like asking what is inside, can we go inside to see, you know, like, all, you know, people just kind of passing by, you know, these people like so curious inside, let the people go in, even on the gas station, even we just stopping for temporarily on the road, then whoever asks, you know, we just let them go in to see it, so we explaining what is it for, and they were like, whoa, you know, so yeah. Some would say, oh, Mongolia has fossils like this, you know.
So I mean, you've said one of your aims is to inspire this next generation of paleontologists. It sounds like the movable museum is definitely helping do that.
Definitely, because it really allows, you know, movable, it really allows, you know, before we were doing our outreach project, before movable, we had a traveling trunks.
Mm-hmm.
So the traveling trunks actually made with help of Museum of the Rockies, and we had an educator, Molly Ward. She was used to work at the museum, so she really helped us to launch our first outreach project in creating traveling trunk. So this traveling trunk has been, reach out to kids in the Gobi, kids in the city. So we've done, you know, some number of outreach with that. And so next step is basically movable museum coming in, and then we have everything in on the wheel that we can reach out wherever paved road can lead us to. And so this summer we're going to multiple places. So in our next step, we are thinking of museum. So before museum in Mongolia built, we're already doing our activities and how museums should be functioning and, you know, reaching out kids and public. All we need now is a building. That is another next project. So
is that's for the future?
That's for the future, but it's hopefully near future.
Right. And the kind of conservation work that you were talking about, sort of letting the public know about conservation, is that associated with the movable museum or is that a separate kind of project?
It's associated with the museum, movable museum. So last year when we brought the movable museum to Fleming Cliffs, that's a fossil site, that was basically... We picked that fossil site, I mean Fleming Cliffs, because that's, you know, historically, scientifically, and locally very important site, and also I would say economically when I say economically, means that tourists go there, and every tourist company in Mongolia have an itinerary to go to that fossil site. So it means there's a number of tourists go there to learn about, you know, dinosaur discoveries in Mongolia. And also, you know, it's also to do with, you know, Chet Andrews' legacy, that I guess he really made that places very famous. So so we picking that place is really important in first place in terms of protecting, in terms of management of that fossil sites, and also make it community-based conservation. I mean, that's very important. And there is a town close by to Flaming Cliffs. I mean, not right next to it, but there's a little bit of distance. But it's very possible. I mean, there were some local efforts. They've been trying to protect that site, you know, to manage it. But then it wasn't being that successful. And of course, that's probably to do with the funds and also some lack of support, not necessarily financial. So so that's why with our institute, so this summer we really wanted to launch this community conservation project at that site, and to help the local community for managing that fossil site, and they can benefit knowledge-wise and education-wise and also economically.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really great to get the people who are, you know, they're living closest to these places really involved and invested in their future.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because that's, you know, what is, you know, that's the people will benefit, you know, being next to it. And also, that's very important that they should be part of a solution. And then we, after this site, we will move on to more to the west. So the western part is the very concern, because that's where, you know, a lot of poaching problems been happening.
Right.
So last year I visited several fossil sites that been poached, and you can see the traces of poachers, you know, what they've done to the fossil sites. It's really heartbreaking. And with those sites, you know, because those are isolated from, you know, closest town, there's no way to see, you know, what's going on at the site. So we need some kind of way to manage that site, even it's, you know, geographically, you know, quite distant. But you know, there is a way that, like, you know, technology, you know, we have some ideas that, you know, maybe we could make the site a little more monitored better.
Yeah.
And so, and then to have involved local government, also local communities, to help to protect that site. Because, you know, the source of this poaching problem is happening in the fossil sites. So it's, so since 2012, I've been involved with this repatriation project and working together with Mongolian government. We've been repatriated now 31 dinosaurs back to Mongolia since the first one was Tarbosaurus batar. But, you know, we cannot keep doing this thing. You know, we have to go to the source of the problem to reduce it. And so, at the end of this year, we have 10 more dinosaurs we're going to repatriate. So it's just, you know, we cannot do this like in year and year, you know, bringing dinosaurs back. I mean, of course, we have to do, but
really, better to stop them leaving in the first place.
Exactly. That's the effort we really want to put much more, you know, time to it.
Yeah. So this might be a good place to bring in Taya. We've just spoken a bit about the Movable Museum and the things that you guys have already been doing with it. Perhaps, Taya, you could tell us about how you became involved with the project with Bellore and what your plans are for the upcoming trip this summer.
Yeah, I'd love to. Actually, out at Dinosaur National Monument, volunteering with Dan Churi and the National Park Service out there to work on a website. And while I was there, it was a 12-week program through the GeoCore America program. And while I was there, Bellore was one of our visitors. And one day I was in the office working on our website there. And Dan Churi, the park paleontologist, comes up and is like, "Oh, so this morning we've got some Mongolian paleontologists coming by." And I was like, "I want to meet them. That'd be, that sounds great. Like, yeah, I want to definitely meet these people." And I had actually heard of Bellore's work a little bit, repatriating dinosaur fossils at that point. I'd seen an article. And so I thought her name looked really familiar when I heard. And so I went up to the quarry at Dinosaur. There's like this big fossil quarry that's on display there if you haven't been. And with Dan, and we met up. Bellore was with her family and some friends from Mongolia. And so we got to talking. And at the time, I was also writing a blog about everything that was going on at Dinosaur. So I was writing and taking photos, and I wanted to include something about Bellore's visit and her work. And so I got her to agree to take a short break from her vacation and do an interview with me. So in a way, I met her the same way that you did. And we had a really great chat, and that post that I wrote is still up at my blog, Futurist Naturalist. It was something that like really made me think, and I wanted to help. And at the time, she was doing a crowdfunding campaign by herself, incredibly, for the Movable Museum to get it out to the Gobi. And so I was able to use that article a little bit to spread the word about that, but not very much. And it wasn't until much later that we got involved on this other project. I was actually in my day job when I'm not trying to do anything related to dinosaurs. I work in advertising, and so I had been freelancing actually after the GeoCore America program ended for me in Utah. I went back to freelance in advertising in the fall. And I was in Manhattan at an ad agency there freelancing, and I got in touch with Bellore, and we decided to meet up because, of course, she's working at the American Museum of Natural History a couple of miles away from where I was. And so we got together actually in Koreatown, and I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but we had this amazing, this amazing meal. And we talked for hours, I think, and Bellore asked me if I wanted to work on a website like what I'd done for Dinosaur National Monument, but for the Flaming Cliffs or for Bayan Zag. Yeah, that's how it got started. And then after we started working on that website, we got to talking about all of the other connected things, and Bellore mentioned wanting to do a crowdfunding campaign this summer, another one, and I thought, I hadn't actually done a crowdfunding campaign before, but with my background in advertising, I thought there might be a lot to offer there. And so I started researching it and seeing just what I could contribute. And it turns out there's a lot. And now I'm basically doing this as much as I am doing my freelance work for advertising, which I'm totally fine with.
So what are you actually trying to raise funds for here? Presumably it's associated with these projects with the communities in Mongolia, but what's the specific aim?
So we are looking at, of course, travel, room and board for our core team. That's about six people, and that includes Bellore, myself, a driver translator educator, and a couple of each. We haven't worked out exactly the numbers on that yet because we're going to hire those people in Mongolia. Mm-hmm. And depending on how much we get funded and what we decide that we need, that might change. And Balor, interrupt me if I'm totally messing that up.
No, it's okay.
Okay. there's also probably going to be a couple of other people on that team who are going to be our high-level donors who are coming with us. There's, of course, the maintenance, gas, tires, insurance, parking, registration, driver.
So we've already, I guess, spoken a bit about what you're aiming to do with the museum as you're taking it around, which is what really the crowdfunder is for. What do you hope the impact will be when you take this out this summer for this project?
So in terms of aims for this summer, so each summer we've been doing outreach project mostly, as I said, mostly focusing on local kids and public to know about their fossil heritage discoveries. You know, some of kids actually live right next to the fossil sites. That's like their backyard. But then this year, as I said, it will be more focusing on conservation. So it means that we will work very closely with the local community to meet them, to know them better, what they want, what they really need, how they want to be part of this project. So it's really important. So we basically physically meeting local communities. I mean, community is usually not that big in that area. So it's very possible for us, Taya and I, with help of some Mongolian educators we hire, we can reach out as many people as possible to get some data to understand fossil sites fits into their understanding. And yes. Some people probably, may say, I don't care. I mean, I heard of this word before from some people. So I think they should care because it's, they live right next to it. And also it's great opportunity for the kids who live there to be exposed to such important heritage, also interesting scientific knowledge. And, for me, I'm basically living in two different worlds, some sense that in New York, it's so, you can see how things happens in New York and comes down to, like, especially we're talking about STEM. And if you go to the Natural History Museum, and you can see how kids are so excited. They have so much of source of information to get to know what they really interested to learn. Then when I go to Mongolia, it's totally opposite, right? So, and if I were talking with the kids here in New York, I would ask, say, hey, do you want to go to Fleming Cliffs? They all will be saying, yes, we want to go, right? Because they have been exposed about, how interesting things they can learn about. But if I go to the Gobi, kids who are living right next to it, they're having lack of information. They still don't understand why this is really important, why it's really relevant to me, why what I can benefit, So I think we really want to get these kids too excited about it, and they are right next to it. It's not, a lot of kids who really loves to dinosaur have opportunity to go, right? Being your backyard, being dinosaur fossil sites that you can, walk up and down hills to play. Yeah. And so, but Mongolian kids do have that. They have that great opportunities. We do want those kids to go to the fossil sites to learn them. It's, it's only a few miles away. And so we really want to create in that area that, community and public and kids get so involved and excited about protecting this fossil heritage. And at the same time, they can be the people that can spread the knowledge. They can tell the, you know, tourists coming there, they can tell, but there's exciting, you know, these new discoveries in fossil heritage. So so the point is, for us, we're not going there, going to do all this work. We, for us, is we really want to give the community some tools that they can do this community conservation. So what we means by tools is we give them knowledge. We want to give them skills, and in some cases, if they need some, physical, or some kind of, you know, things like say camera or some, you know, things needed, then we can, you know, help them out to provide those. Then these people should themselves to do this conservation project because they live there and they can benefit out of it. And this fossil site is protected, but there's no museum, there's no information center, there's no fee charging. I mean, local community actually tried to do that. It's not they completely did not do anything, but they are trying, but they need some skill and knowledge to do this, to protect the fossil sites. And protecting, it doesn't mean that to put the fence around. We need to, you know, in our mind, protecting is to do with knowledge. You know, if you have given knowledge to people that importance in all, we don't need to have a, you know, fence around it. And I think because those people to understand how important those things. And so the point is that this park really needs some management. And with this summer's main goal is we really need to start the, you know, conversation with the community that how they can be part of this, how they can do this thing. And if necessary, we can have some organization, even like, you know, I spoke with some parks department people here in the States, you know, to learn about some park management, and maybe someone we could bring to there and, you know, train some people locally. So physically, Tay and I will be in Mongolia meeting with community, but at the same time, you know, the Tay mentioned about the website. So we starting from the to have a very good quality of information to give out to local community and tourists and Mongolians in English and Mongolian website will be soon be launched. So Taya is working on this.
When are you heading out in the summer to kind of start the project in Mongolia? And also, when is your crowdfund actually launching?
We heading out end of August, so we'll stay in Mongolia for a month. We're going to the Gobi, so it's in south the Gobi Desert, and then we're going to Western Mongolia, and also we have some outreach activities we will do in the city as well. Our crowdfunding it will be launching June 27th, this coming Monday. So Taya is she's been working very hard on that, and so it will be our second crowdfunding for the project. But the conservation project will be the new one. So we're really hoping that to make that project to launch successfully this summer.
Sounds really great. And it also sounds like, you know, you have a lot of exciting things in the work for kind of the future of these projects and paleontology in Mongolia in general. We will put all of the information for the different organizations and everything up on the Paleocast website for people to have a look at. But yeah, thank you so much for telling us all about it. It's really fascinating stuff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for Paleocast, and thank you to you, Laura, and Dave, interested in our project and supporting. And I think this is really important that it's not just our you know, project and things we're doing. It should be also relevant to everybody who really interested in paleontology. And, you know, we have a lot of paleo community work in Mongolia for research purpose. And I think, you know, having this outreach and getting, you know, locals and Mongolians to know about their own heritage is really important. And I think, you know, this really will help us a lot. And we really, you know, like to invite, you know, other paleontologists and, you know, other organizations who are interested to, you know, work with us on this project. If they're interested, please, you know, feel free to contact us. You know, we really want other people's involvement in our projects too.
PaleoCast was brought to you by Dave Marshall, with Joe Keating, Laura Soule, Liz Martin-Silverstone and Caitlin Coleri. It was made possible by funding from the Paleontological Society and the Paleontological Association, but the show now relies on contributions from you, the listeners. If you've liked this episode, please consider donating, and thanks to everyone that's helped out so far. We'd also like to thank the Ocean Collective for use of their music. Please visit paleocast.com for the supplementary material to this episode and for our archive of past programmes. Subscribe to our Twitter feed at PaleoCast and like us at facebook.com/paleocast to get all the latest news.